impact everywhere.
Dane knows how to help people become better coaches, more resilient performers, and more collaborative teammates. As the CEO of Third Factor, Dane is an expert on strategy, leadership, and resilience under pressure, and oversees Third Factor's delivery of leadership development programs to leading firms across North America. He's worked as an advisor to senior executives in 23 countries on 5 continents, and he is a regular contributor to Harvard Business Review and the author of The Power of Pressure. So Dane, I just want to start by saying welcome today.
Hey, thanks so much, Avery. It's great to be here.
And I'd like to jump into this first question, just explaining a little bit more about what I just said, right? That's very template, that's boilerplate, but there's so much more depth to who Dane is. So the first question I have for you is explain a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're an impactor.
I always talk about what I do and really what we do at Third Factor is, you know, we're kind of this big cross-pollination hub. So we operate in a bunch of environments where people experience pressure and they need to perform. The firm actually got its start in the world of elite sport, and we have really deep connections with the Olympic and Paralympic movement here in Canada. And so we've spent 30 years working with over 100 athletes that have won Olympic and Paralympic medals. I teach in academia, so I teach at Queen's University in Canada and UNC in North Carolina. But most of our work happens in organizations, large and small. And I always talk about what we try to do is basically trying to figure out what can we all learn from each other. Because I think, you know, there is a lot of stuff in life that is situation specific. Obviously, our lives are not really like the lives of Olympic gold medalists. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's actually pretty fundamentally similar. And in particular, I'm really focused on cross-pollinating, you know, the best of what we can find around pressure. So how does pressure impact us as human beings? How do we respond to the impacts of pressure in productive ways? And really about leadership. You know, what does it mean to be a really exceptional leader, regardless of context? Because there is a lot of stuff that's different, yes. And there are just a lot of really fundamentally human things that apply across the world of sport, business, government, you know, philanthropy, academia. And so those are kind of the fundamental truths, if you will, that we're trying to uncover. And, you know, I think the question of being an impactor is an interesting one. You know, I think when you understand some of the things that fundamentally make us human, that make us both unique and spectacular, but also fallible and, you know, prone to error, I think it's a really wonderful thing to start to learn that about yourself. It helps you become a stronger version of yourself. It helps you connect with your ability to you know, actualize yourself at a higher level of development. So, you know, I think that's a lot of how I frame what I do is, you know, can we help those around us, you know, become a better version of themselves, tap into what they're capable of, and ultimately perform to their potential in the moments when it really matters to them.
And so with the development of Third Factor, you explained you started off in, you know, Paralympic sports or, you know, high-end sports. And yes, not everyone has that type of lifestyle, but when it comes to the inception of you know, the company and why you wanted to build and create this, what did that have to do with helping you create the book, you know, Power of Pressure, going on to this idea of the importance of pressure? How did that play into your book?
Well, you know, in many ways, Avery, I have had the incredible good fortune of, you know, standing on the shoulders of all the people that came before me. And so Third Factor, you know, was around before my involvement. It was actually founded in the early 90s, 1991. So we've been around about 30 years. And I came over and took over the firm about 9 years ago. And we had a really strong history at that point and a legacy rooted in our founders, Peter and Sandra, of doing exceptional work with people under pressure in the Olympic and Paralympic Games. You know, I came in much more from the realm of business. You know, I went through business school. I was a management consultant for a number of years, working to help leaders in large organizations solve strategic issues. And one of the things that I had observed over and over again in large organizations was, you know, really good strategy was necessary, but it wasn't sufficient. I worked in a lot of organizations that had really, really good strategies. We worked to create them with them. They had built them themselves. And at the end of the day, they fell really flat because of, you know, the human side of strategy, which is your strategy is really only as good as the leaders who lead the strategy. Your strategy is really only as good as the ability of teams to collaborate around the strategy. Your strategy is only as good as the ability of individuals to execute and perform and to make the choice to get committed to the things that you need them to be committed to from a strategic standpoint. And so I started to get really, really curious about all the stuff that, frankly, our founders have been working with elite athletes for years around, but I really came at from the lens of business. And what do we know about what it takes to perform under pressure? What do we know about the double-edged sword of pressure that can lead to burnout, to short-term disability, to stress leave, but also can fuel incredible performance? I mean, where do more world records get set than anywhere else? They get set at the Olympics, right? Because there's pressure, right? Pressure can be hugely energizing. And so I kind of fell in love with this notion that pressure is, you know, this force that can be both a tremendous positive and a tremendous negative. And so I kind of started to take it on myself about 5 years ago to try to understand that a little bit better. And I think that goes back to the nature of impact. You know, I am a capitalist. I'm a guy who believes that organizations and business is good for society. And I believe that it can be tremendously bad for the people who work in organizations. And I think we've seen that in spades over the past 14 months. You know, a friend of my wife's just messaged us a couple of days ago to say that her employer is asking her to come in, even though it's a stay-at-home order. And she feels unsafe in the workplace, right? You know, business can be tremendously bad. It can be a source of huge negative pressure for people. And I think if you look at the people who are tremendously engaged in their work, who are doing positive things for society, who are providing products and services that both benefit their customers, but also their suppliers, and ultimately the employees who work in the organizations, I think those are vehicles for tremendous good. And for me, one of the big things that is a toggle in whether it's good or bad from an experiential standpoint is pressure, right? The organizations that are incredibly bad for people, they use pressure as a cudgel, right? You know, pressure is something that flows downhill and sits on people like a rock. When we look at organizations that are high performing organizations, they are full of pressure as well, but that pressure is energizing. It's a form of passion. It's something that motivates people to devote their extra effort and to be more committed. So, you know, I think that this whole notion of pressure is a real a leverage point when it comes to, is business going to be good or bad for society? Yeah, so that was one thing that got kind of really interesting to me a few years ago.
And so let's talk about your community next. And what I mean by that is not necessarily local or immediate. It could be any size. The people that you interact with are the communities as well. How are you making a positive impact in your community with what you do personally, as well with what you do with Third Factor?
You know, I think I would start by kind of defining my community a little bit. You know, I said that we were a cross-pollination hub. And so, you know, I tend to spend my time split a little bit. You know, a decent chunk of my life is spent at the front of a classroom. I teach in a couple different MBA programs, working with adults in their early adults in their young 20s, kind of mid 20s, maybe late 20s. A decent chunk of my time is spent working with, you know, boards and leaders in the sports system. And then, you know, a large percentage of my time is spent talking to corporate audiences. And I think, you know, one of the things that I learned early on was that everybody kind of wants to know what are other people doing that could be a benefit to them. When I sit down with an audience in the sport world, they want to know, what are the businesses doing? When you sit down with people in the business world, they go, man, how do those coaches and athletes in sport do it? Like, how do they get out what they can get out in competition under all that pressure? And so I think one of the benefits that I kind of play is I'm this little messenger that kind of shuttles back and forth between different people, each of whom have figured some stuff out, but are looking for ideas on how others have kind of figured these things out. And kind of, if I go back to what is the ultimate end goal of that, why bother shuttling this information back and forth? I think the biggest impact that we can have as a firm, that I can have as an individual, is to do two things. The first is I want to connect as many people as possible with their self-efficacy. And self-efficacy is a concept that comes from Albert Bandura, who's a legendary psychologist at Stanford. And self-efficacy is this belief in my capacity to handle my circumstances, right? That I have the capability, the capacity to handle what gets thrown my way, the challenges that I have to face. And so I think a lot of the work that we try to do as an organization that I do through, you know, my writing and my speaking is to bring people face to face with the fact that they are often capable of more than they think they are. Right, that they can learn to be exceptional in high pressure moments, that they can become better leaders. And this is really important to me because at the end of the day, adults only get committed to things that they feel they can be competent at, right? So when we connect people with our self-efficacy, when we have this realization that we have the capacity to handle our challenges and the situations that we're in the midst of, it really changes the way we go through difficult periods. And so I think that's a really important part of this for me, is just helping people kind of connect with that ability and their own kind of capacity.
So I'm curious about this next question then, because this is more about the business. And you've explained it already on a higher level, but a more in-depth conversation on this idea of impact in business. Why do you think it's important, and how can we do more of it?
Well, I think it's important because at the end of the day, pressure needs to have meaning. You know, if pressure doesn't have meaning, if you can't see why you are tolerating this pressure or why you should persevere or why what you're doing matters, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, that's when pressure starts to get really, really corrosive. That's, you know, when it does lead down the garden path to all of the negative outcomes that can come as a result of pressure. And so I think, you know, a big part of what makes pressure not just tolerable for people, but actually something that they interpret as a sign of importance is meaning. You know, is what I am doing helping me grow? Is what I am doing contributing to other people? Is what I am doing connecting me to the people that I care about? And so, you know, I'm a big believer that at the end of the day, if people cannot get there, and if the pressure remains hollow, that's when, you know, working for a large organization becomes something that is a chore. It's something that is a net negative, as opposed to, you know, I'm able to connect with what matters to me. And so I do, you know, I am a big believer in, you know, the school of thought that says at the end of the day, people all, you know, people need a line of sight to understand how their daily decisions link to goals that matter to them and are rooted in something that is important to them, you know, fundamentally. I think if people come in to work day in and day out and don't have that line of sight, I do think it becomes corrosive. So I think this line of sight to how is what I am doing having an impact is a really important role that any organization has to play. And I think there's actually two layers to this too, Avery. Like, I think if you are an organization and you are just frankly a selfish, you know, optimization machine that is like, how do I get the most productivity out of my people? You know, the research is pretty clear on this. The way you get productivity out of people is you appeal to higher levels of motivation, which are rooted in a desire to make a difference and do something that ultimately is good for somebody beyond yourself, to feel like I'm part of something bigger than myself. So that's just one, like, very calculating X's and O's, you know, case for impact. But I think you want to go beyond that and also say that at the end of the day, we spend, you know, 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, 10 hours a day at work. That's got to be something that ultimately has meaning for us. It has to be something that goes beyond just achievement and starts to get into the bigger stuff that, that brings us closer and connects us to other people. So, you know, both of those, I think, are really important from my perspective.
So the last question I have for you today then is more about for people listening today, and less organizationally, but let's say people who, you know, are working, you know, 10 hours a day in a job, and they want to do a little bit more. But the question I have is, what is your advice for people listening to begin building their own impact in the world?
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, a leader is anybody who influences another person. And I think sometimes people, you know, who are individual contributors in an organization, maybe they're early in their career, they go, I'm not a leader, because they don't have the title. You know, they don't have people reporting into them. And, you know, I just think that's kind of an incorrect way of looking at things. And so for me, if you want to have an impact, first and foremost, you got to start by connecting with what really matters to you, right? If I can't see a line of sight as an individual from how what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis ultimately ladders up to something that really matters to me, something that I want to contribute to the world or something that I want to find in myself, it's going to be very hard for me to subsequently have an impact with the people around me. So that would be job one for me, is make sure that you are having an impact on yourself, and through the way that you're acting, you are able to, you know, positively impact just the people around you, even if it's through your own actions and words. And then I think the second thing for me is, you know, the way that we have an impact ultimately, especially early in our careers, you know, before we are able to donate vast sums of money like Bill Gates, right? That's one way to have an impact. But the main way we impact people around us is through our communication skills, right? It's through the way that we converse with other people. It's through the conversations we have with people that shift their mindset 1 degree or 2 degrees. It's through the conversations I have with another person who is, you know, in a doubt spiral and is starting to worry about their own capacity, worthiness, and ultimately their ability to have an impact. You know, I align myself with the 5% of that person who believes that they can do it, who wants to get stronger, who wants to grow their impact. And if I can feed and nurture and develop that part of that person, all of a sudden I've doubled my impact, right? Because now I'm making an impact and I've inspired this other person to do it as well. So I would encourage people to look around and identify, okay, who are a few people in my orbit who I might not lead, you know, I might not formally have some control or influence over, but I can influence them, and start to identify, you know, what is the part of that person that wants to do more, that wants to be more? Is there a way that they are really excited about contributing more or growing? And start to feed that part of them, right? Start to set up regular conversations where you can talk about that, where you can connect them with people that can help them grow, where you can give them some advice and feedback that allows them to move to the next level of growth and development. You know, so I really do think our communication skills, the degree that we build relationships with and ultimately connect the people around us to resources and their ability to grow, is just a really tangible way for us to have an impact. Impact for me does not need to be, you know, a capital I impact of a new wing on a hospital or a, you know, a big kind of financial contribution. It really is about my ability to help the people around me connect with what they really want to be doing and move to a place where they can do more of that, where they can expand their impact.
Dean, I just want to finish off this podcast by saying a big thank you for being with me here today. I mean, it's a wealth of knowledge in what you've done and what you've built in the world and how you help people, you know, just be able to show up and build their own impact in the world. So I want to end again by saying a big thank you, but also just to know where people can find more information about you and what you do with Third Factor.
Yeah, so you can find me at danejensen.com. I'm also on Twitter at Dane Jensen and on LinkedIn under my name, Dane Jensen. And any and all of those are great ways to get in touch and connect. And right back at you, Avery, thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it.